You guys can be seated. Hey, welcome to MVC. If you are new, so am I. My name is Matt Grubb, and I get to serve as the lead pastor here, and it's so good to be with you today. This is the day that I'm going to say this a lot. I told some of our team this morning, and I've told you guys before that my pastor used to repeat this week after week, and it used to drive me nuts. But now I see the joy in it. But he would remind us each week that this is the day that the Lord has made today. That God made each and every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in us. Let us make the choice today to rejoice, to see the goodness of God in our day and be glad in it. So I hope you are having a great start to your Sunday. We here are excited about this new season ahead. And as we're jumping into this new season, we've started a study looking at the I am statements of Jesus. That Jesus says seven times in the Gospels. Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the beginning of the New Testament. I am. And the reason we think this is so important is because so often Jesus is misunderstood and misrepresented, right? He's misunderstood and misrepresented. We know this. We know this, and we've even experienced this in our own lives because sometimes we get mistaken for somebody else. Anybody had that happen to you? Maybe you were in a mall or you were at the grocery store. Who goes to the mall anymore? I know. But you were somewhere and some little kid walks up to you and grabs your hand because they think you're your parent, right? You're like, you look down and I mean, especially if you're a guy, you're like, not me, I didn't do it, right? It wasn't me. Or maybe you are walking up to someone else and you're mistaking them for someone. I had one time where I was walking up from behind someone who I thought was my wife. It was not my wife. And I went to grab her hand, and it wasn't her hand. But I thankfully, right before I got there, I noticed that's not my wife. And that would have been horribly uncomfortable. But we misrepresent and we misunderstand and we get mistaken at times. I had a friend that I worked with years ago, and he used to tell me that he was mistaken for somebody all the time. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or if you've had people tell you, I get mistaken for this person all the time. But usually it works out in their favor, right? It kind of works out in their favor. And my friend would say, oh, I'm mistaken for Al Pacino all the time. And I just kind of looked at this guy, and I was like, yeah, you're not Al Pacino. You don't look anything like this guy. He's a great guy, but they just didn't look anything alike. He's Korean. I mean, it's just didn't look like Al Pacino. I had another friend that also told me that he was mistaken for somebody. And I mean, this guy, I mean, he was a good-looking guy, great guy. But he used to tell me, I get mistaken for Keanu Reeves all the time. You are not Neo. Take it back. I was like, he didn't look anything like Keanu Reeves to me. But he would tell me that. And I just kind of really haven't had that happen to me until recently. Until recently. Twice in one week, I was told that I look like this famous actor. Now, I kind of had mixed feelings about it because this actor had gone under a transformation. In the last 5 years, he totally transformed himself. And I just kind of was left wondering, like, before the transformation or after the transformation? Which one are you mistaking me for? And I'm not going to tell you who it is, and I kind of hope it drives you a little bit crazy. But twice in one week, this happened to me. In fact, so much that one person said, I know that's who you are. And I said, no, really, I promise it's not me. And they said, hey, listen, I'm not going to make a big scene of it, but I know that you're this person. I said, hey, just so you know, if I was this person and I was rich and famous like this person is, I wouldn't be eating at Chipotle. Now, no shade on Chipotle. I like Chipotle. However, I wouldn't be eating there. And the truth is, we get mistaken all the time for being someone else. And if we're not careful, we can do that with Jesus. We can do that with Jesus. We've been told something about him, or we believe something about him, and it makes us walk away. For many of us, we've been told and shown a wrong version of Jesus and God, and we've said, hey, I'm not sure if I'm interested in following that Jesus. And that's why it's so important to look at these I am statements. I want you to know that you're welcome here no matter how you come in today. If you're coming in questioning, you're welcome here. This place is for everyone. We all have encountered the living God, and if you're here to see if he is who he says I am, you're welcome. We're glad you're here. Because Jesus has been misrepresented, and we don't want that. We started out in week one that Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And last week, we heard that he said, I am the light of the world. And today, we're looking at the time where he says, I am the gate. I am the gate, or I am the door, some translations say. The way by which we come and go out of our way to life. Today, we're going to continue to let Jesus speak for himself. And I want to tell you, throughout my time, if I say something and you're like, I'm not sure what I think about that, go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. I want to focus our ministry and who God says he is on who God says he is. So Jesus talks about the role of a shepherd throughout the Bible, and at that time, it made sense for those who were listening. I mean, they were around livestock and sheep and shepherds all the time, so a lot of this just made sense to them. David was a shepherd, and he talked about protecting the sheep from the wild animals when he was facing Goliath. In Psalm 23, we hear about the shepherd that leads us beside green pastures and still waters, that he restores our souls. In John 10, where we're going to be today, he talks about the sheep pen and some issues, and he issues some comfort and some warning. We're going to start off in John chapter 10. In fact, that's where we're going to spend our time today in the book of John. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to John 10. If you have YouVersion on your phone, man, that's an incredible place to follow along with us. But John 10, verse 1, it says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees." Now I'm going to pause right there. I know the slide is up behind me and you can keep reading ahead, but I just want to pause right here and tell you that Jesus is pointing out a specific group of people right here. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees." In other words, hey, listen up, ears up, this is for you. "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Jesus is speaking directly to the Pharisees because the Pharisees and Jesus had this tumultuous relationship. They weren't sure if Jesus was who he said he is. Some of them believed it. Some of them questioned it. And a lot of them were just against him. He starts with this warning that there are going to be those thieves and robbers, that they come in by some other way than the gate or the door to the sheep pen. And he says, watch out. Those are thieves and robbers. They're seeking to circumvent the legitimate boundaries of protection and seeking to sabotage and steal. We know this, right? We've experienced this. I mean, I don't know where you live. Now, if you live out in the middle of the country, maybe this doesn't apply to you. But for most of us, we don't leave our house with our front door wide open, and we're like, hey, it's good, right? Okay, maybe that is you. Maybe you have experienced that. You don't go to downtown San Diego with a TV and some consoles and some jewelry and some cash laying in the seat and just leave the windows down and the doors unlocked. Like, that wouldn't make sense. And Jesus right here is saying, listen, I want you to come in through the correct way because those who come in by other ways are thieves and robbers. When I transferred to Abilene Christian University, which, by the way, we just played A&M and we barely lost. Okay, we didn't barely lose. We lost by a lot, but it was a fun game. When I transferred to ACU, I was a year and a half into college. I got the call to go into ministry, and so I didn't do things the way that things were normally done. I applied. I had a rush application. I got in. I got my classes set up, but the one thing I didn't do was get my housing set up. So I drove from Dallas-Fort Worth, where I grew up, with everything that I loved and cared for in the back of my pickup truck to Abilene, Texas. I pulled up, ran inside the housing office, and said, I need a place like right now. Because everything that I care about is in the back of my truck, and I don't want it to get stolen. He just looked at me and smiled. And he said, "You're not from around here, boy. How are you?" And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Your stuff's fine." Now, he probably wouldn't say that today, but at the time, he knew that it was safe. But we understand this idea of thieves and robbers that seek to break in. And it continues in John 10, verse 2 through 3, says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And so I've been looking into some sheep lore. I bet you didn't know there was sheep lore, but there is. We're going to share throughout our time here some other identifying factors of sheep. But one of the things that we learn about sheep is they knew their shepherd's voice. Sometimes it was a voice, sometimes it was a whistle, sometimes it was a musical instrument, but they knew the call of their shepherd. And not only do they know the call of the shepherd, it says that he calls his own sheep by name, that he knows each and every one of his sheep. And that's a closeness worth noting. That's a closeness worth paying attention to, that the shepherd knows his sheep, that that's Bruiser, and that's Bruno, and that's Jamie, and that's Susie, and that's Mess Up. But he knows his sheep. He calls them each by name, and his sheep listen to his voice. This is why it's important. In John chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, it says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them." Now, I want to just kind of pause again for a second. It doesn't say he brings out his sheep by cracking the whip and pushing them ahead and making them go into the unknown. It says, no, that he actually goes ahead of them. That he's protecting them as they go out of the sheep pen. It says, "And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Guys, this is just as important of them knowing the shepherd's voice, is that they run away from the stranger's voice. The stranger that we read just a couple verses earlier seeks only to steal, to kill, and destroy. A couple important things developing here. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They know who their shepherd is. They follow their shepherd. He leads them ahead of them, showing the way. They also know who the shepherd is not, and they avoid the stranger. Jesus then makes it personal for the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees aren't quite getting it, he tears down the allegorical wall and says, "Very truly I tell you." In other words, he's like, "Okay, no more of this allegory. I'm going to tell you straight up, I am the gate." And we've talked about through this series that when Jesus says, "I am," that he's pointing back to the Old Testament and when Moses brought the Israelites out of slavery from the Egyptians and Pharaoh. Moses is freaking out because the Pharaoh is this power. He holds the power of life and death, and Moses is like, "Man, what am I going to say if he asks who sent me?" And God says, "You tell them I am has sent you." And so Jesus is pointing back to this language. Jesus is pointing back to this I am statement, and he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." So he makes it plain. I'm the gate. Everyone else is an imposter. If you enter through me, come through the gate, you will be saved. Not only that, but you will be protected. In many sheep pens, depending on where they were, there wasn't an actual gate or door or thing that they would move out of the way. Many times, the shepherd was the physical gate. And at night they would lay across the entrance to the sheep pen. And so whatever came in or went out had to go through the shepherd. Man, this is a powerful illustration of what Jesus is saying right here. I'm the gate. If you come in through me, you're going to be saved. You'll come in, you'll go out, you'll find pasture. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That verse is quoted all the time, Jeremiah 29:11. Do you know that when we get that verse, that they're undergoing persecution? They're undoing through trials. They're undergoing hardships. And so here's what I want you to know today. It's very clear in the Bible that in this life we will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. And right here, he's saying, I'm the gate. I'll protect you. I'll watch out for your needs. On the other hand, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. In other words, what shepherd are you listening to? Ever seen a movie and there's a character within the movie and you just know they're going the wrong direction? Some movies actually mock this a little bit because they're like, oh, this person absolutely is going to die. We've seen commercials about the horror movie, and it's like, why would you run into the room with chainsaws and knives? Like, bad things are going to happen. And we see movies like this too, and we're like, no. And we're like looking at the screen, and we're saying, no, don't do it. It's the wrong path. It's going to end bad. I mean, never go out into the woods at night alone, unprotected, when there's a serial killer out there. Jesus right here is saying that the thief is here to do the same thing to us. We just see it in kind of like a one-hour condensed version in a movie. But it's saying in your life, the thief is only here to steal, to kill, destroy, not to bring you life, but I've come that you may have life into the full. Maybe you've walked through some of those gates in your life or those doors. Those doors that you thought would bring happiness but just let you down, brought you hurt and regret. Jesus says you can only find joy and contentment and full life through me. So I want to talk about some fake gates right now. Some fake gates that we are tempted to follow, that we are tempted to go through to find satisfaction and fulfillment. The first one is the fake gate of achievement. We think achievement is going to bring us happiness. If I can just achieve all the things that I want in my life, I will be fulfilled, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's sports. These are good things to do and to pursue, but they're not going to ultimately fulfill us. They aren't going to give us salvation. It's not what you're looking for. How do I know this? Because there's always someone better out there. I told you before that my son is an accomplished dancer, and I mean, if you look at me, you know that to be so true. You're like, oh, he gets it from his dad. But he's an incredible dancer, and he had the opportunity to go on the youth season of So You Think You Can Dance, and my son was a very accomplished dancer. But it was so crazy to be in this room and quickly realize there's a lot of really talented dancers out there. And so if you're placing your fulfillment in that, if my son found his identity in that, he could get easily let down. Because someone better is always going to come along. And the other thing that we often do is we forfeit what matters most in our life to gain something that you can't hold on to. I got that achievement. I finally did it. And then someone does a little bit better. I'm a huge Oregon Duck fan, and man, they looked amazing yesterday, and I'm sorry if you're a USC fan or an Arizona fan, everybody except for Washington, and I'm going to pray for you, okay? But there were records that were broken yesterday. Bo Nix scored 6 touchdowns in the first half. That's the most that anybody had ever scored in an entire game for Oregon up until that point, and he did it in a half. Someone's always going to come along and overachieve your achievement, right? Someone's always going to do a little bit more. Someone's going to always go a little bit further. Someone's going to figure out something that you got stuck up on. Maybe achievement isn't your fake gate. Maybe it's money. Whew. This hits close to many of us. We seek to find our fulfillment and our identity in money. We try so hard to add another zero, and why? We become stingy and selfish because we have to look out for us and us alone. And suddenly you find yourself all alone because you look for satisfaction and fulfillment in money. I actually was talking to someone not too long ago, and their parents are in their early 70s, and they're, you know, retired and living their life, but they had just a disagreement with their kids. And suddenly you saw this parent's behavior change, and they started spending money left and right like it was going out of style. Now, they never said anything to their kids, but their kids were like looking at this going, I know what you're doing. You're upset, and you're just trying to spend everything that you've saved up so that you make sure that you have the best time possible and leave us with nothing. Can I tell you something? That parent is not finding any joy in the way they're using their finances. They're bitterly, bitterly going on trips, bitterly buying things that they want, bitterly doing all these things, and the kids are just living their lives. It doesn't bring joy and satisfaction. Money can buy a lot of things, but it can't buy your worth. It can't buy your worth. Movie stars and musicians know this, that make it big. It's why you find them, unfortunately, making mistakes to end their life, because they thought money and fame would bring their happiness, and it didn't. Maybe you walk through the door of the fake gate of pleasure, the next adventure, the next high, the next drink, the next sexual encounter, and you're like, this is going to bring me fulfillment. In the end, the pleasure didn't last. Maybe it actually left you in pain or enslaved to this pleasure of choice. The thing that used to be fun is now a necessity just to make it through the day. It's a fake gate. Maybe it's image. The image of having it all together. I grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and upper middle class area. And like everybody just looked like they were living the American dream. White picket fence, families were perfect until you went into their homes. And it's actually what got me to start saying, there has to be something else out there, because I saw family after family that didn't like each other, that were fighting, that were on the brink, or that were divorced. And they had this fake gate that they were trying to keep up of image, that it would bring satisfaction and fulfillment, and they were completely empty. Jesus says, there's an enemy of our souls, and he knows the fake gates to us. And that he will try to whisper to us and say things to us to lead us astray. And he is only there to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life, and life to the full. Jesus offers a better way. In fact, Jesus didn't say, I am a door. He didn't say, I'm the best of many doors. I am the one door. He says, I am the one door that leads to God. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the only way to joy, fulfillment, satisfaction, and peace. I am the only door that opens to God. So here's a couple questions I want you to chew on this week. Have you chosen to walk through the gate? Have you chosen to walk through the gate? See, the beautiful thing of the gospel is that Jesus calls all people unto him. There's another I am statement that I keep wanting to talk about in relation to this, but Jesus says, like, you will find your joy, satisfaction. This is the reason that I came, that I laid down my life. In fact, we're going to take communion in just a couple moments where we remember his body and his blood given for us. Have you chosen to walk through the gate? Have you chosen to accept Jesus? Have you chosen to face the reality that even in your best moments that you aren't good enough on your own, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Have you chosen to walk through the gate? See, Jesus is the most exclusive and inclusive person in history. He's exclusive in the way that he says, I am the gate. I'm not one of many gates. I am the gate. But he's so inclusive in that anyone can come to him. You don't have to clean up your act, figure it all out, get a bunch of stuff right, grovel, have penance. You simply have to turn to Jesus and give him your life. So have you chosen to walk through the gate? Number two, are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Everyone has a family culture, a way things work. And the more that we know Jesus, the more that we understand abundance found in him, the more we trust in his protection. The more we rest in him being the gate. So don't misunderstand. Jesus says, I am the gate. Listen to my voice. I will go out ahead of you. I will protect you. I will watch over you. Listen to his voice. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are the gate, that you care for us, that you love us, and that we can read your word and not misunderstand and hopefully not misrepresent you. God, I pray that we would find our lives securely in you and that you would help us if we're listening to some fake gates and some fake shepherds and some fake voices in our life, that you would help us identify those for what they are and that we would lay our lives down before you and follow you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to take just a moment because we're going to do something new right now. And it's something that I've just been talking with the team and the board and just saying, hey, can you guys explain some culture? As we've been navigating, like, hey, who is New Vintage and who am I and what are some of my dreams and passions about the church? And one of the things that I asked about was, hey, do you guys take up an offering here? And so I started talking to them about that, and they said, you know, we used to at our old building, and we came here, and COVID hit, and we had all these regulations and all these things, and so we just haven't done an offering lately. And I said, man, I'd love for us to start doing that. And I want to unpack a little bit about the why real fast, and this will be short. Jesus talks to us over and over again about money. And he says, and he knows our hearts, that we're so tempted to listen to the fake gate of money. And he says, no one can serve both God and money. And so he calls us to tithe. Now, tithe literally means 10%. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Jesus doesn't ask us to tithe because he needs our money. That's street for him. It talks about the streets of gold in heaven and all the abundance found there. But he knows that we can find our dependence in our finances. So he says, hey, I want you as an act of obedience to lay that down to me. Now, that might be hard for you as you begin hearing that. It was hard for me. When I first became a Christian, I wrestled with this idea of tithing. Now, my wife grew up a preacher's kid. They tithed on everything. I mean, so much so that sometimes it was frustrating to me because I was like, well, like, we didn't really earn that. We just got that money somehow. And she's like, no, we're going to give because God has been so faithful to us. Can I tell you that in my roughly 25 years of being a Christian, God has been faithful to me every time I've given. And so many of you are so faithful in your giving. You give online. And I just appreciate that so much. But I want us to fully begin to operate in the things that God calls us to. God says, I love a cheerful giver. I love that person who's passionate about seeing the kingdom furthered. And I just, you know, for those who belong here, who call this place home, just a little family meeting real fast. If you're new, you can peek in. I also really care about financial security. It's changed my life and going through Financial Peace University. Some of you guys have heard about that. And there's some debt that this church has. And I want us to get to a healthy place where we are able to not only serve our community, but bless our community with our resources. But that's gonna take taking care of this place and making sure that we're being faithful in giving. And I'm really excited to share this with you. I hope you can get excited with me. We're going to do an end-of-year giving here at MVC. We're going to do an end-of-year giving, and here's the part that I'm most excited about. The church that I was formerly at, Real Life Church, my wife works there, I work there, we both have been there for a long time. They said, hey, we want to bless you. We want to bless New Vintage. We want to help you guys get ahead of the curve and start out in a really healthy way. So they said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make you the focus of our Christmas offering at Real Life Church. And we are going to match dollar for dollar. Every dollar that your church gives, when you go online, you can select end of year giving. Every dollar that your church gives, we will match it up to $50,000. Guys, I was so encouraged and so excited. And so I hope that you will get encouraged and you will get excited and that you will pray about how you can faithfully give to our end of year giving. This isn't going in my pocket. This isn't going in Riley's pocket. But it's going so that we can become financially secure, so that we can do incredible ministry in Escondido Valley. And this reason that we came here is because we believe that God has called us here and that He is the King of New Vintage Church. That He is the King and the leader of every single church. And our desire is to share the good news of Jesus. So we're going to pass the buckets. This week, we're going to look a little bit different, but we're in a theater, and we used to meet in a theater, the church that I was a part of, and so we're gonna pass our offering in movie popcorn buckets, just remembering our roots and where we came from. But I'm just going to ask that you give joyfully and give faithfully, and maybe you want to give online, or maybe you want to give in one of the kiosks. That's fine, and there's no pressure. I just want you to join in the blessing that God has for you. So God, I pray that you'd bless our time, that you'd bless our offering, and that we would be a people who are generous in the way that you've been generous to us. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You can pass those buckets now. I also want to let you guys know while we're doing that and passing those buckets that we're going to go into a time of communion. Now, like I told you, this is a different Sunday, so it's a little stutter-stepped. But when we take communion, we do this in remembrance of Jesus living a perfect life, going to the cross for us, and saying, this is my body given for you. When you take of the bread, do this in remembrance of me. For I love you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And when you take of the juice, remember that I willingly went to the cross, that I paid a debt that you could not pay. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but I've lived a perfect life and I've come on your behalf that I would intercede for you. So as we take communion, let's do this in remembrance of him, in stillness of heart. Maybe you need to lay aside some fake gates that you've put up in your life. Maybe you need to turn to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you just kind of need to, like you kind of start drifting over to the side and you just need to come back in line with God. Because he is the gate and he loves us. God, I pray for our communion time now that you would bless it. And that we would faithfully walk in obedience to you. We thank you that you are the bread of life. We thank you that you are the light of the world. And we thank you that you are the gate. And that you are a loving shepherd that calls all people into a relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take communion together now.